We are looking at big-time mistakes, huge life mistakes that have the potential to destroy us, have the potential to cause immense heartache. And if it is God's will, we will avoid these kind of mistakes at all cost. And the topic this morning is jealousy. Our case study is going to be Saul, first king of Israel, and his incredible jealousy over David, a shepherd boy. We are going to reference 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is just a little bit of the story. This is the first seed of jealousy that is planted in the heart of Saul, and it continues to grow and grow until it becomes something completely out of control. And in 1 Samuel 18, the context is that David has just successfully defended Israel by slaying the giant Goliath. Goliath was taunting Israel. The Philistines, of which Goliath was a soldier, were aligned against Israel. Battle formations had been formed. There were like the two armies in a standoff, and Goliath was taunting Israel. Send out your best man. Let him do battle with me. If we win, you will become Philistia's servants. If he wins, we'll become your servants. And of course, no one was willing to take this challenge. And then David arrives on the scene, and he, in the spirit of the Lord, realizes that he can take down this man, because he would treat him as he would a lion or a bear who might come to attack the sheep, as David was a shepherd. And so he goes out, just as the accounts in Sunday school are taught, that with his sling and stones, he felled the giant, and he won a great victory. Now, with that as the historical precedent, then we take a look in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, where it says, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, and with joyful songs, with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Now, we'll return to this account in just a moment to discuss what's happening here in the heart of Saul and how this continued to spin out of control. But first, I want to discuss something that we see in the scriptures occasionally, and that is where we see something that we see as negative, and yet God displays what seems to be similar behavior. A good example would be in terms of anger. Typically, we think of anger as a sinful emotion, a sinful thought, and yet the scriptures discuss God as at times being angry or enraged against his people. Good example of this is the classic instance where Jesus kind of loses it in the temple, and loses it might not be the best term. I don't see Jesus ever being out of control like we lose it. But his anger he unleashes, and in that sense, he shows vehemence and quite a high degree of being upset. And yet, it's in a holy sense. It's righteous anger. It is holy anger that is being visited upon these people in the temple grounds. Well, in the same way, jealousy is actually used as a descriptor of God in the scriptures. And that might sound weird to us because all of our experience suggests that jealousy can only be a negative emotion. But in fact, in Exodus chapter 20, if you hold your spot in Samuel, please turn to Exodus 20 and you will see God describing himself as a jealous God. This is on page 118. Exodus 20 takes you to the listing of the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are found in two locations in the Scriptures, in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The book Deuteronomy comes from the words that mean a second giving of the law, that is, a second recounting of the law. Deutero meaning two, nomos meaning the law. So it's a second book that parallels or supports the account of the giving of the law of God. So we find the Ten Commandments twice in the Old Testament. And those listings are matches to each other. There's no variances or changes in them. In Exodus chapter 20, based on the fact that he had brought his people out from Egypt, he had freed them and given them a whole new life, as is stated in verse 2, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Well, as their deliverer, as the God who frees them, and now is going to be the ruler of their land, their people, God has a few rules for them. He has some expectations for them, and these are outlined in the Ten Commandments. In the Hebrew, they're called the Ten Statements. So God makes statements of what he expects from his people, morally, ethically. And he goes into this in verse 3, and he starts with the principle, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them nor worship them. And then he goes into this explanation. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So in verse 5, you see this phrase that is used by the Lord there, I am a jealous God. Well, how can it be that the Lord in his holiness, in his perfection, can have the emotion of jealousy? Now remember, I said that in our experience as sinful human beings, jealousy is associated with fear, with a sense of insecurity. When we are afraid of losing something, we get upset. Now, let me define the difference between envy and jealousy, because oftentimes people use them interchangeably, but they're not the same. Envy is when someone has something you want, and you emotionally want it very badly, and you envy them for it, and you're upset. You can't be happy for them, but you sense that you want this. It's tied in with the 9th and 10th commandments on coveting, a sinful wanting of what someone else has. That's what coveting is, and that's tied in with envying that person. See? Now, the difference is jealousy is not that they have what you want. Jealousy is you having something and you're insecure about it. You're afraid that you will lose it and that someone will take it from you. The classic example is this relational thing between a man and a woman, and they're in a relationship, and then a third party comes along and there's fear, insecurity about this presence of this third person, and the person becomes jealous over their partner because they're afraid they will lose their partner to this other person. Okay? That's the dynamics of jealousy, and that's the sinful form of jealousy is based in this insecurity. Also, a tremendous amount of pride involved and ego, because the ego is hurt, and the ego is bruised by the idea that someone else could be better. Someone else might take them away, that kind of thing, all right? Now, in God's case, he says, I am a jealous God. You will not bow down to these idols of wood and stone and things like this. Well, wait a minute. God doesn't have to deal with sinful jealousy the way we do, partly because there are no other gods. The scriptures make it very clear there is only one creator and redeemer. There's only one true God. People that are worshiping wood and stone, or you know, in the Old Testament, there were the gods Moloch and Baal and Ashtoreth, and there were all these gods that people had made up. They aren't real. There's only one true God. And it's the same thing today. Humans still worship false entities, gods that are not actual. They don't exist. And yet that doesn't stop people in sin from bowing down to these things and calling them gods. So the Lord obviously knows that he doesn't have any competition, so to speak. In the absolute sense, there is only one creator, and he is it. So he doesn't have insecurity in that sense. Where the Lord experiences jealousy is in the sense of, if he has created us and made us, and he is our God, shouldn't we then acknowledge him? Then wouldn't it be proper for us to worship him and give him our praise? Well, of course. But the problem is that humans are undependable. We're inconsistent. And we don't always do this. And that's where arises this jealousy. God, as our creator, wants us to acknowledge him. When we don't, he gets upset about it. And rightly so. It would be the same as you as a parent. If you establish priorities and rules for your household and how you want your children to behave and operate in life, and then they don't acknowledge it or don't follow this, well, it's going to be maddening and frustrating. And that's where the sense of jealousy comes in with God. We should seek to acknowledge him and give him our praise. When we don't, it makes him upset. Rightly so. Okay? So that's where the sense of jealousy in God is concerned. Now, getting back to sinful human jealousy, our case study this morning is Saul, that first king of Israel. And we read the initial passage where David, in service to King Saul and Israel, slays Goliath. He shows great faithfulness and fearlessness in doing this. And Saul, because he sees credit starting to be given to David, gets insecure. His ego is extremely bruised because of the song that the women are singing, right? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. David is the man of the hour. David did what no one else was willing to do. Hey, it wasn't Saul who walked out there and fought Goliath, right? So David is the superstar of the moment, and Saul cannot handle this. By the way, it should be pointed out, as we're seeing here, jealousy is not always related to sexuality. Jealousy is not always tied in with male-female relationships. That's the classic. But in this case, it's dealing with power. It's dealing with politics, prestige. Now, Saul was a good soldier, and he was an important leader. And aside from mistakes that he made, he was doing a competent job. He fought the Ammonites and secured a victory. He had fought the Philistines before. So the Lord was using him, and he was in a very influential position, the king of the nation. So he had all this political and military power. He was at the apex of the country. And yet, he was still subject to insecurity and jealousy. So the second that someone starts drawing attention away from him and starts to be lauded as a hero, what happens in Saul's heart? The little virus of jealousy enters and it starts growing exponentially. And here, let me tell you a little bit about the dynamic of jealousy in a person's life. We see it happening back in 1 Samuel 18 again. Take a look once again at verse 8. Jealousy cannot stand to have someone else credited, cannot be happy for someone else because of the insecurity and because of the pride. Okay? So when David, in Saul's mind, is credited with tens of thousands, Saul's ego can't handle this. And he becomes jealous, insecure about losing his power and popularity. And notice what happens in verse 8 at the end. An irrational thought process starts. What more can he get but the kingdom? Here's how jealousy plays out in a person's mind. When they start to distrust, when the insecurity and the ego go haywire, then the movies start in the mind. Little scenarios start playing. Well, now I wonder what they're going to be doing now. And I wonder what they're going to be saying. And maybe this is going to take place. And we have it all figured out, how they're not being faithful to us and how we're going to get hurt because of this. And that's what happens. The little insanity starts because of the insecurity and the pride. And Saul had no reason on earth to think that David was being unfaithful or that David was trying to take his power and popularity and position away, but Saul was starting to run little scenarios in his mind. And that's what jealousy does. It starts to convince ourselves we know what this other person is doing, and it is highly distrustful of the people around us and the people that we have no reason not to trust. And another thing about the irrationality of jealousy is because it's emotionally based. It's not intellectually based. You can't just tell a jealous person, oh, don't worry about it. I'd never cheat on you. I'm faithful, I'm committed. That won't cut it for the jealous person because it's an emotional thing. And because it's geared emotionally, jealousy can also justify any action, even violence. And that's why you will see in cases like Saul, at two times, he picks up the spear and throws it at David. David was in service to Saul, and he actually played the harp for Saul to soothe his troubled mind. And Saul chucks a spear at him twice in order to try to kill him. See, jealousy will justify almost any behavior because of this emotional neediness and because of this irrational little movies that are playing in the mind. See? That is one of the reasons why women are very cautioned against being with men who have intense anger issues and outbursts. Men that will try to control where they go, who they see. Oftentimes, these men will move their women out into a more remote area, a rural area, in order to maintain further control over their lives. This is all dealing with high jealousy, high insecurity, and very fragile ego. For the young ladies especially. Now, by the way, nowadays it seems like jealousy can be an equal opportunity thing. You know, we can see it in men and women. But especially for women, watch out. If you are dating somebody and they have a very explosive ego and they don't trust who you're seeing, what you're doing, I tell you what, I would advise you leave that relationship. There are way too many godly people, Christian people around to find and to become associated with. If your person has anger issues and jealousy issues, you don't want to live with this. Let it go. Now, I want to make a distinction here between what I would call normal jealousy, and that's always kind of dangerous, because there's no distinction like this made in the scriptures, but observationally, I've seen two different levels of jealousy in people's lives. I see a normal jealousy. That can happen to anybody. And you can be a very strong Christian, you can be a very firm person in Christ, and still have this distrust that comes occasionally. And it has to be dealt with. And then there is what I call terminal jealousy, the kind that Saul had. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, focusing on this normal jealousy. It does not have to happen often. Once in a while it will happen. It'll come out of the blue when you least expect it. Something will make you feel very insecure. Something will be hard on your ego, and you won't have an easy time handling with it. You're jealous. Let me give you an example of this, dealing with relations, husband-wife relations. This took place very early on in Connie's and my marriage, and I've used this as an example for couples so that they learn how to deal with this. When Connie and I were both single, obviously, we're both very social people. We had friends of the opposite sex. Of course, most of us have had this, platonic relationships. And as we got engaged and then married, you still try to maintain friendships with people. Well, in hers and my case, there was one individual, one person of the opposite sex that each of us had as a friend that the other had a problem with and just didn't like that we were still maintaining the friendship. And there was nothing inappropriate. There was nothing wrong with having this person as a friend, except for the jealousy in the partner's heart. And, of course, you can sit there and try to say, you know, well, I'm totally faithful to you, no problem. That doesn't cut it. It does not eliminate jealousy, because jealousy is an emotional thing and many times irrational. As we were reading through Willard Harley's book, he's written several books, but one of his books on marriage, he had very good advice. And he addressed the issue of jealousy. And it simply said, the only way to cure jealousy is through a demonstration of loyalty and faithfulness. And his recommendation was that if your partner is feeling jealousy about a relationship that you have with someone else, the answer is you end the relationship. That is the only way to eliminate the jealousy. And Connie and I discussed this, and we felt that that was true. And so we both decided that we would end that friendship with that person of the opposite sex. Now, it's not like you call them up and say, hey, my partner's jealous, I can't ever talk to you again. That is not how you do it. You just slowly pull away. You just slowly don't call them anymore. You just slowly don't see these people. You just are busy, and you let go. That was very wise counsel. And you know what happened to the feelings of jealousy? Totally evaporated. And now it's been almost 18 years of marriage, and we've never had that feeling again. We proved to each other that our spouse is the most important relationship in this world besides Jesus Christ. And when you have to prove that, you need to prove it. And no amount of hot air and talking is going to prove it except by a demonstration of faithfulness and love. Now, maybe you've had to go through something like that. Maybe you've had issues like this in relationships. It pays to get good counsel. It pays to see what is necessary in order to kill jealousy by you demonstrating your faithfulness, not just telling your partner to get over it. That's how normal jealousy is killed. However, there are certain instances where there are what I would call cases of terminal jealousy. And it seems as though there are instances where the ego is so fragile and the insecurity so high that no amount of demonstration of faithfulness and fidelity and love is going to make any difference. And that's what we were dealing with Saul. David specifically demonstrated he meant Saul no harm. And you remember that Saul was so inflamed with this anger and this insecurity that Jonathan, Saul's own son, You know, David and Jonathan were good friends. And so Jonathan comes to his father Saul and says, hey, what's wrong with you? David loves you. There's no problem here. He's not after you. And you know what Saul did? Because the irrationality of jealousy, he picked up a spear and threw it at his own son. Because jealousy will support any action, even murder. So then Jonathan knows this is a serious problem, and he tells David to escape and flee into the wilderness. What does Saul do then? Inflamed with jealousy and problems with ego and pride, he chases David in the wilderness with his army. Hunts him like an animal. And so David, in hiding, two different cases, David has to try, according to the normal standards, to kill this jealousy, to prove his loyalty and his love for Saul. One is when Saul goes into a cave, and David and his men are hiding in the exact same cave. And Saul goes into this cave in order to take a leak. I mean, that's what it says. You know, he goes in, and you know, David is only a few feet away. He could have done Saul in right at that time. And instead, when Saul traipses back out and walks down, that David comes up, yoo-hoo, guess who was here? Saul is overcome with remorse. Oh, David, my son. Oh, no, that big repentance, right? It's not lasting. It's only temporary. You know, he invites David, come back, come back. David's like, well, no, I don't know if I'm quite ready yet. And that's wise on his part. Because short time later, Saul is back to his jealousy and his insecurity and his huge ego. And he's still hunting David. And then in this particular instance, Saul and his men are sleeping at night. And Saul has his personal items here, you know, and that. David's men sneak in and take from beside him Saul's personal objects. And they go up on the hill, and when they wake up, woo-hoo, guess what we have? Saul realizes again, they could have killed him. But David's position was, I will not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. He would not raise his hand against the king of Israel, because God had chosen him. How's that for loyalty? Two different incredible demonstrations of faithfulness from a man who was trying to track him and kill him, and David would not retaliate, would not raise a hand against him. Did this stop Saul? No. This was terminal jealousy. Terminal jealousy in the heart of a person, their mind and their personality is so wounded, so needy, that no amount of demonstration of faithfulness will suffice. And this person will continue from relationship to relationship to relationship to damage and hurt and destroy the people around them. Saul alienated his own son, Jonathan. Saul alienated David and his men. At one point, there are some priests. While David is out in the wilderness and he is fleeing from Saul, some priests of the Lord help to feed David and his men. Later, Saul finds out about this. He goes to see those priests with his army and he confronts them. Did you help and abet and aid David? And the priests say, what do you have against him? He's a godly man. We did feed them. Saul slaughters them. Now he has raised his hand against the priests of the Lord. Jealousy will destroy relationships in your life, and in the end, it will destroy you. As Saul, toward the end of his life, even turns from the Lord and starts consulting witches and mediums instead of going to the Lord in prayer. And he ends up dying on a battlefield with his son, Jonathan. It's tragic. But unless a person can find a way to release the insecurity and take down their ego several notches, jealousy will destroy a person likewise today. If you encounter normal jealousy, it is part of your Christian calling and part of your privilege as a partner to demonstrate loyalty, to demonstrate oneness with them so that the irrational emotion can be killed, so that it can be laid to rest and the unity reinforced. But if you are dealing with a person with a high degree of ego and very, very low security, and someone who habitually is jealous, the only way for this person to get remade is to seek counseling, is to go in and have their whole character remade by Christ, and to try to find security in the Lord Jesus as opposed to trying to control other people's lives. Short of that, if that does not happen, this will cause damage to everyone around that person. And if you are married to an individual like this, you will need to be in prayer massively to try to deal with them and to try to cope with this. If this is someone who is an associate at work or an acquaintance or an extended family member, my advice would be put as much distance between you and them as possible. Jealousy is an extremely nasty thing, and it wrecks people's lives. In God's grace, I hope we don't have to deal with it. If you do need to deal with it, may God grant you wisdom and grace to deal with it. And if it is a struggle that you have, please seek the help you need, because we do not want to have our lives wrecked because of irrational self-esteem issues and problems. Amen.